I want you to look again this morning, verse 14. We're following a very familiar incident. Abraham gives the place of that incident a very familiar name, verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Everybody here, I'm sure, knows fairly well the story of Abraham and of Isaac, his son, traveling up the Moriah hill. Isaac is carrying the wood on his back. His father Abraham is carrying a knife in order, of course, to make a sacrifice unto God. Just recently, we noted in our story on the beginning times that Genesis, that a lot of atheists, of course, and scoffers like the late Christopher Hitchens and Sam Harris and before them Madeline O'Hare and many others, they just love to point to this story as a supposed means of disparaging the character of the God of the Old Testament. I would never serve a God who demands a child sacrifice, they say. And of course, that obviously betrays their utter lack of understanding of both the Scripture and the God of Scripture. This is the God who gives life. This is the God who broke through the darkness of the world and declared in His law, "Thou shalt not kill," even Abraham, who believed God's promise that Isaac would go on to become a great nation, knew full well that God would have to provide a way, even if it meant resurrection then and there, to compel his promise. You'll notice again what it says in verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide." God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, of course, Abraham did not know and have the full meaning of the words God himself. For as much as many centuries later, on that very same ridge of hills, by the way, God would indeed provide himself as the only begotten of God, the sacrificial lamb for man's sins. God spared Abraham what he did not spare himself. Abraham saw through a glass darkly. Nevertheless, Abraham knew that this, the true God, was not of the character of man's idols and demanded death as a means of acceptance before him. At least not death on man's part. You know, I was challenged once on the contention that Abraham was only willing. He was only willing to make this journey and to raise up his knife on that very day because he absolutely knew that God would resurrect Isaac. And they said, "You're speculating. This is wishful thinking." And again, trying to disparage the character of God. And I said, "I'm not speculating at all." I said, "It's stated in the Bible." In fact, it's stated in the Bible as the number one reason for admiring Abraham's faith. And so I turned him to Hebrews 11 and I read these words. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac thy seed shall be called." There is the promise of God. And so what's the next verse say? Listen to this. Abraham accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Folks, don't waste your time on unbelieving skeptics and scoffers and haters of God. And by the way, may I say this before we pray? It's not very convincing to me to hear atheistic proponents of abortion and euthanasia and evolution try to indict the creator of life or its sanctity. This is a far deeper, a far more spiritually significant scene than what any carnal mind could ever comprehend. And of course, nothing better illustrates that great fact than what Abraham declares when it's all over. Why? Because folks, even though this was a great trial, obviously, for Abraham and would be for any father, even though the vast majority of the time in this trial was spent in effort and the emotion was wondering and working and walking, you'll still notice very significantly that Abraham names that place by a name that speaks nothing of the trial. The name speaks nothing necessarily of his great test. It speaks everything of God's provision. It says in verse 14, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Father, help us to understand, dear God, the power and the meaning of this extremely significant moment in the history of man and in the Word of God. I pray, Father, our hearts will be open, that we will understand that there is a name that you carry with Jehovah, and we will understand why. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis 22 presents what is one of the truly great paradigms in all of Scripture. This story of Abraham taking Isaac, his son, up to Mount Moriah is a foundational text to many of the great spiritual truths and realities of the Christian faith. We've noted already that it is on this very same mountain ridge, thousands of years later, that God would provide himself a lamb for man's sins. No accident, no impossible coincidence was this scene at the very dawn of God's salvation plan. And yet, there's still another critical and very powerful foundational truth in this same text, and it's found in the very name of God that Abraham gave to that place, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The earth needs water and sun. God provides it. The lilies of the field, they need soil, and the sparrows need food. God provides it. The human heart needs love and fellowship, and God is the one who provides it. You see, God, by his very nature, is a provider, and so much so that his name can be assigned, and it is signed, including others, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. And so it is this morning that in this foundational text, the Word of God teaches us everything we need to know about provision, about life and in our journey and our pilgrimage in this world as his children, about provision at his great hand. I'm going to tell you what you already know this morning, many of you here. There's a lot of folks in this society and in this country, and no doubt in this room, there's a lot of worry and trepidation and circles downright terror with many at what the long-term economic world looks like. There are people who are seriously wondering if we will ever have the means or the will to defeat terrorist groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And those who are wondering whether or not the machinery of healthcare costs will someday destroy both our healthcare and our economy, folks are worried. Concern about provision. They're worried that their savings, their investment, their retirement will ever be there when it's finally needed. There are even Christians that are fretful about everything from climate to race and terrorism to asteroids to the economy to debt to space invaders. And I don't mean the game. I mean, people literally are worrying. And it brings us to this morning's text because there are some wonderful truths about your God. There are some wonderful truths about Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. The first one, notice number one, is the fact that God sees our need. Look again at verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now what does that mean? It shall be seen. You see, folks, the reason why it says that, in the mount it shall be seen, is that the literal Hebrew interpretation of the words Jehovah Jireh are the words, the Lord will see and provide. And in fact, in the Hebrew Bible, it says exactly that, emphasizing that all of God's provision is derived from the absolute fact that God sees all of our needs. So in other words, long before we ever pray, and long before the need is ever before our eyes, God has already seen it. Look at verse 13, same text. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Now wait a minute. This is Abraham, and you know what he sees, beloved? He sees a provision. But guess what? Long before he ever saw that provision, somebody had to have seen the need for it. Verse 7, Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? You see, there's Isaac seeing the need, right? Abraham sees the need later, and Isaac sees the need before it happens. But this is way too late when he sees it to get a lamb all the way up that hill in the right place at the right time. You say, Well, Pastor, that's a great blessing. Before Abraham and Isaac fully saw what would be a great need. God had already seen not only the need, but the provision for that need. Well, amen. And that's absolutely true. But if you really want to get a glimpse of what God sees, if you really want to get a glimpse of God's omniscience, then you should look beyond the provision of a ram that's caught in a thicket. In fact, you should look beyond the 3,000-year-old promise of a lamb that was slain on that very hill. The Lamb of God was taken away the sin of the world, and realize again what the Scripture says in Revelation 13:8, Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, God knew that man would need a Savior. God knew that your need and my need would determine, before we were ever born, it would determine the need for a lamb slain. And you know what, folks? I don't claim at all to fully understand this kind of foreknowledge, but I know this, the same God who saw that need, the same God who saw the need before the foundation of the world of a lamb who would die on a cross, also saw that need that you will have 1 month from now, or a year from now, or 5 years from now, so that whatever happens physically, whatever happens to the economy, whatever happens to our banks and your pensions in Wall Street and Washington, whatever happens to the job market or the housing market or the Social Security or our health care, whatever happens, one thing is for sure, your Father is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who sees, and specifically, He is the God who sees your every need. And that, as you might guess, leads us to the second truth in the text. Not only does He see our need, number two, I want you to notice, He secures our need. You'll notice in verse 4 of the text, it says that Abraham had already traveled, what, 3 days to the place where God commanded him. So if you think about it, you understand that when we come to verse 13 and see that there was a ram, because of the horns on its head, it was caught in the thicket. It was literally in a patch of thorny bushes. It becomes pretty obvious, beloved, that God was already preparing for Abraham and Isaac's desperate need. They didn't get the ram up there. Somebody was thinking way ahead. God secured their provision long before it was needed. Look at verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. The father's son is carrying wood on his back, wood that was placed there by the father himself. When the Lord Jesus Christ carried that wooden cross on his back as he walked up the very same ridge, we are reminded that it was also in the father's will. Jesus said in John 8:56, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. Wait a minute. Abraham saw Christ? How and when? When he saw that God provided himself a lamb on Mount Moriah. Verse 8 says this, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh is the God who provides, but notice it says God will provide himself. Some time ago, as we were observing communion, I sat back over here and I was reading along with the rest of you in Matthew chapter 27, and I came to verse 29. And it says there that they platted a crown of thorns and they put it upon his head, and they took a reed and they beat it into his head. And I read that and I wrote in my Bible, Jesus Christ, the Lamb caught in the thicket. You see, folks, in every way, this story here tonight, today, is a reminder that God was and is and will always be seeing and looking way ahead of your hour of need and making preparation beforehand for its provision. But Pastor, I just don't know what I'm going to do about this upcoming issue or this upcoming meeting that I have or this upcoming surgery. Would it help you to know that God is already making preparation for that? Already and on your behalf. The Lord Jesus told the grieving apostles not to let their hearts be troubled. Now think about that for a moment. We quoted that verse at the funeral yesterday morning and the day before as well. And if you think about that statement, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because I'm going ahead to make preparations for you. He said, I go to prepare. a place for you. Did you know that God is a preparer? Why? Because every provider is by nature a good preparer. In Zechariah, it's prophesied 600 years beforehand that the Messiah, on a specific day that Daniel gives the exact date, it's prophesied the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on an unbroken colt while people would shout a specific word of praise. Now wait a minute, an unbroken donkey. Where will the disciples find that need at such late notice? Rent a mule? Where are they going to get this donkey? There's no need for that because God had long before, centuries before, provided that donkey for that specific task. In fact, it was literally born for that task. Yesterday morning at men's prayer meeting, we were praying for Howard and John Wynn, who, you know what, just last year, a devastating typhoon in the Philippines came into their life and ministries. And I mean, a year later now, that was in November of last year. And here it's a year after, and after much expense and blood and sweat and tears and labor, they're just beginning to turn the corner until, sure enough, as you know, yesterday, another massive storm, Typhoon Rudy, has headed right to the Tacloban again. Late last night, I go online to find out how things are, and it's slowly moving through the area. And so we prayed last night again. And I have to tell you that it is an extremely encouraging thing for me when you know that you are praying to a God who was not surprised by this storm. The God who already sees and knows and provides according to His great omniscience and His omnipotence. For me, first thing I did this morning was go online again and try to find out. And after 3 or 4 articles, I still don't know how damaging the storm was. I don't, but I know this. I know that He does. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and provides. You know, the recent problems we've had with copper thieves, if you're not aware of this, we've had some vandals come in and several times steal the copper wiring out of our lighting, and it's been expensive and it's been a problem. And so I was telling someone the other day, it reminded me of the gas thieves that we had in Michigan. Some of you will recall I've told about the problems in Michigan, these gas thieves. Of course, this is the 1980s. I was a youth director, a bus director. We had 11, 12 buses that we ran every single night. But in 1980, you know, gas was at a premium, and these kids would come in late at night and siphon off. They would steal our gas. And so we put locks on the gas caps. But that was a mistake, because then they poked holes in the gas tanks, and it cost more than just the gas. And so one Sunday morning, got there early as always, and all of our buses had been hit, and so I called a meeting. I announced in church that we were going to catch these guys, and I needed some volunteers that would be willing to stay up late at night. If necessary, come back at 11 or so that night, Sunday night, we were going to do a stakeout. And so, I should have picked my volunteers because teenage guys showed up. A bunch of fellas came in, screeching into the parking lot, in the back of a pickup truck. They've got camo on. They've got camo on their faces. They're yelling like Comanches. They're carrying sticks and staves and pitchforks and fire and... Okay, not that bad, but they did. Two of them brought rifles. Michigan, of course, right? And they're hooping and they're hollering, and one kid had a plan with his dad. He said, "Brother Jim," he said, "guess what we've done? I brought a gas can and a box of matches." And I said, "What is that for?" "Oh, Brother Jim, guess what? We're going to catch one guy. We don't have to catch them all. We're just going to catch one. And we're going to take this can and we're going to pour it. It's going to have water in it, so don't get afraid. We're going to pour water on him, but he's going to think it's gas, and we're going to keep trying to light matches until he names names, and he's going to squeal like a pig. It's going to be great." I said, "Are any of you guys Christians by any chance?" And of course, along with these weapons, they had bags. They stop at the store. Bags of potato chips and pop and candy bars and cupcakes and beef jerky. And so there they were at midnight. They were hiding inside the building, looking out the windows, pretending to be snipers and special ops and so on. They were psyched, but not psyched enough to go outside and watch for these thieves. 3 a.m., the gas thieves, sure enough, they showed up. And you know what my commandos were doing? They were all snoring. They were so out with their sugar high. The gas thieves could have come and taken their Twinkies out of their hands and not got caught. But they did get caught. And the reason they got caught is that one of our deacons, Jim Fisher, went home that night and he took a nap. And then he showed up at midnight with a pot of coffee and two former Marines and a giant spotlight and an off-duty police officer. And they were stationed at the entrance and the exit, hiding in the woods. And they caught all the thieves, brought them to the pastor's office, and got them all to sing like canaries without having to set them on fire. Hashtag, nobody was killed. And of course, you know what the difference was? The difference in both of those groups was entirely preparation. Gas thieves never knew what hit them. What seemed like a usual night coming in and stealing some more gas was completely prearranged for their capture. Now, folks, look. Do you know that God has already made preparation for the defeat of your enemies and the enemies of the cross? Why in the world do Christians get so perplexed, so hand-wringing and worried? Because, Pastor, do you see what the attacks they're doing on Christmas? Pastor, do you see what they're doing? Do you see how they're talking? This book came out about atheism. Why do Christians get perplexed when we already know what happens to the enemy? He is already made, the Bible says, prepared for the devil, prepared, and his angels. Did you know that God is already preparing to meet a need that you don't even know that you have as yet? His name is Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees and who supplies. So he sees the need. He secures the need. And as I just noted, number three, you'll see he supplies the need. Look at verse 10 of the same text, would you? And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. That's the part the unbelievers and skeptics cannot wrap their minds around. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, folks, I want to ask you a question. And you know what? I want you to consider the answer very, very carefully. And I want you to do so in light of your past and what God has done in your life with your children. How am I going to ever get them through school? How am I going to ever meet this need? In the light of your own physical condition, in light of a job. I need a job and I need it now. Here's what I want you to consider. When exactly did God completely provide the need for Abraham and Isaac? Well, the Bible says he put the knife in his hand and he raised it up. So that the need came at the last possible moment. Now, if you think about that, the long, wearisome journey, tramping through the rough hills, the dim foreboding of a father's heart, no sign of deliverance, no sign of respite, traveling, the Bible says, for 3 days they finally make it to the top of the hill, and slowly the wood is piled together. Still, no sign of deliverance. Slowly, reluctantly, and resolvedly, Abraham unsheathes the knife, and still, there's no sign of supply. He lifts his hand, he stretches out his arm, and then finally he hears the words, Abraham. But why? Why sometimes is Jehovah Jireh the provider up to the very edge of our need? You know, let me just say that anybody in this room who's been saved for any length of time knows the answer. You see, this was a test of his faith. Abraham is the father of the faithful. And you know, it is for our own good and our own faith in this story when we receive deliverance, when we truly know how desperate and how much we need that same deliverance. I know this. I know that I always noticed in Bible college that people gave far more thanks and glory to God when a school bill was miraculously paid for on the financial deadline than when it was provided for an entire 4 years. That was when God received most of the glory. Now, granted, that's our flesh. That's our carnal nature. The bottom line is, though, God is our provider in any case. And I think we all need to be reminded this morning that the Father is prepared to give to your every need as Jehovah Jireh. In fact, you know, if you think about verse 8 in the light of what Paul said, verse 8 says this, what? It says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. The Apostle Paul made a great statement in Romans 8:32. He said this, quote, he that spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, Paul said, look, if God is willing to give himself, you think he's going to hold back some financial need? If God is willing to give himself, do you think that if it's his will, he's willing to hold back some healing or some job? But Pastor, God has not provided for my specific expense or this deliverance I'm looking for. Okay. But remember, God provided himself. Remember always that God provided his son. It means that he provided everything, and that means that he's provided everything that you need in his will, including, because of his son, his own grace to get through that trial, whatever it is. Because ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, with every believer in this room, we all, whether it's a healing or a deliverance or a debt, every believer ultimately is healed and delivered and debt-free. There are two funerals this week, yesterday and the day before, for believers, godly believers now in heaven. Both of them are healed. There are folks in this room who have received deliverance now and here and have had their need met by the God who provides, whether it be physical or financial or relationship in your home. Some of you in this room are yet, as the Bible says, in your sins and without Christ. God saw ahead that you would sin. God saw ahead that you would break his commandments, that you would be lost and in that condition would need a Savior. And God, seeing ahead all of these things, provided for your salvation. It's there. It's provided. And as the angel of the Lord cried out, Abraham, Abraham, look over here, there is a lamb. The Holy Spirit may be speaking to some hearts today, saying your name, telling you to stop looking at your good works and your religion. Look over here. There is a lamb. His name is Jesus, the Son of God. He died for your sins. He is provided for your salvation. Do not turn against that great provision today. Father, bless the invitation. We commit it into your hands, and we thank you, God, for your goodness to us. And we look back in our own lives. We look back in the last year and see how well and how wonderfully you have provided, that you are Jehovah Jireh. I pray, Father, that in the year to come, if Jesus tarries, we will trust you more than we did last time, recognizing that you are a great provider and a great preparer of those provisions, whether we see it or not. Bless those who have asked for prayer. For those who are not sure about salvation, God, convict them to their need, please. In Jesus' precious name, amen.